Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of Core. We don't get to do this very often, so I'm excited about it because I like the idea of more interviews on the show where we talk to folks in and around the business about all kinds of aspects within and without gaming. And today we have Nicholas DeLeon, who is joining us from a bit of a reporter position over at Consumer Reports. And we're going to talk about gaming chairs today, which, man, I have so many questions. I'm not even sure where to start. But first, I'll start by welcoming Nicholas to the show. Hello, Nicholas. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you for having me. As I said before we hit the record button, I have been a big fan of your network for many years now. So this is a very neat thing for me, actually.
Well, I'm glad to have you, and I'm especially glad to have somebody who's coming to us with a bunch of research under their belt in this area, because this is a weird thing. So, you know,
yes.
Gamers everywhere are subjected to a kind of new media world. They spend a lot of time in front of Twitch and YouTube, and they see their favorite streamers and YouTubers sitting in these fancy multicolored chairs that look like they came right out of somebody's Ferrari and plunked it down in front of their computer. And they think to themselves, oh man, I want to be as cool as this guy. I want that chair. It sure looks comfortable. And they often just base it on that. Like that's the end of it. They're going to get the chair. They don't care what it costs. They just want to have a chair like their favorite streamer. And I've been curious in the past about this sort of thing. Right now I use a Herman Miller that I've had forever. And it's been great. No issues, no problems. I really probably don't need to do anything. But I have to admit, occasionally I'm like, ooh, but what if it was one of these? And then someone will say, you don't want that. That's just as, you know, why don't you go get an office chair? They're better for your back. But also, you know, why do you need to be all flashy, blah, blah, blah. Well, you did this for Consumer Reports. Yeah. You guys went and got like everything there is, Herman Miller, Mavix, Razer, others, and tested them all. First, before we get into any of these kind of results or what gamers should be looking for out there or any of that, what brought this on? Why did you see this as something that needed coverage?
That's a great question. Sort of what brought this on, a couple things. After the pandemic sort of hit in early 2020, we were all sent home and we were like, okay, well, a lot of folks are going to be working from home. We should like expand what Consumer Reports covers. Let's look at like ergonomic mice and keyboard and like good home office stuff, basically. Yeah. So that kind of planted the seeds about 2 years ago. And then coming out of that, we were like, okay, well, what's the next part of like a home office setup? Well, the chair, obviously. So in June, we published a story on sort of the best ergonomic office chairs, and that did pretty well. And what's the next step from there? It's like, well, if you've covered office chairs, you should cover gaming chairs. I've been a I've been a gamer my whole life. I'm 36 years old. I got a Super Nintendo in '93, and I've been playing games basically nonstop ever since, for better or worse. So I was like, well, I know this is like a real conversation that's happening in the community. And to your point a second ago, where, you know, you can't watch Twitch, you can't watch YouTube, you can't scroll through Instagram without seeing ads for chairs or streamers in chairs. And that's fine. And to me, it always resembled kind of like sports, where it's like, oh, if I'm watching baseball and I see Aaron Judge and he's wearing these cleats, well, I want to wear those cleats too. I mean, that looks, you know, if I watch Twitch and my favorite streamer has this chair, I want that chair too. I think actually the first guy I saw with a chair of note was in fact PewDiePie, who I kind of was taking a peek at 2017 or so. And he had one of the chairs, and I had never seen these chairs before. Like, I don't remember gaming chairs being a thing in like the PS2 or PS3 generation.
No,
earlier
not
than
that I remember. Like, no, I feel like it's very much a more modern sort of post-streaming world, kind of Twitch world thing.
I wonder if it is, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with the rise of streaming and Twitch and YouTube, and you see these personalities and they're on the chair and hey, they look cool. You know, I think we tried in the article to just be cognizant of the fact that like, hey, these chairs kind of look cool. And there's nothing wrong with that. I definitely have things that I have just because they look neat, you know, and there's a certain, you know, kind of pleasure you can derive from just having a cool looking thing. And that's fine. Yeah. But the question is more like, okay, is this chair, does it just look cool? Is it a good chair? Is it a bad chair? Are there better chairs out there for the money? And so on and so forth. So we were kind of like, okay, we know this conversation is happening online. We know there's some questions like, are these chairs good? Are they bad? Are they dumb? Are they just like an aesthetic thing? So there's all this kind of uncertainty. And we're like, all right, well, we're going to do what we do best. We went out and we bought 8 of the most popular models. You know, we researched, you know, we did search, you know, Reddit and YouTube and Twitch. What are the chairs people are talking about?
Right.
You know, we wanted to get a kind of like a fair representation of different price points. We wanted, okay, what's an expensive chair? What's a lower price chair? What's kind of in between, to kind of like get a good kind of like feel for the market.
It looks like right here, you got a range of $110 to $1,800. That's quite the range.
It is a big range, and it was very interesting because it's like, okay, the $1,800 chair, you know, spoiler alert, it's a very good chair, but that is because it's made by Herman Miller, which is, you know, they're an office chair specialist. This is what they do.
You
know, they're not a, you know, a mouse and keyboard company that, so, oh, wow, kids are talking about chairs. Let's make a chair.
Yeah, they make them to last forever, too. They're like, hey, this has a 10-year warranty, and you're never going to need another chair, and it'll never break. And they're kind of right. It never does. I've had a Herman Miller forever, and I invested about $1,000 in it in 2012 because I thought, well, I need something. You know, I don't want to buy a $250 chair every year. I didn't want to do that.
Yes,
and,
of course.
Yeah, and I assume some of this is like, you know, I don't know. If I'm a gamer, I'm like, well, that's your grandpa's chair. I need the cool chair. And that's closer to $500. And my favorite streamer has it. And so there's a little bit of that going on. It's like shoe culture or anything else. So you mentioned it earlier, the way it works with, you know, cleats, or you could say cars or anything else. There's kind of a brand thing happening here. And I'm guessing your results didn't necessarily reflect the best brands were the most expensive or the best chairs were the most expensive.
No, not it didn't scale like one-to-one, like the, okay, this chair is more expensive than that chair, which is more expensive than that chair, and it's better. It's not quite like that. You know, again, spoiler alert, the Herman Miller chair was $1,800, and that happened to be the best chair.
Sure.
But that's almost happenstance, like, of course.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't scale linearly like that, where it's like, well, if you spend more money, your chair will be better. That is not the case. And that's, you know, that's another reason why we wanted to do this article, where it's like, you know, in a lot of things, you kind of just assume, okay, well, the more expensive thing is better than the less expensive thing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's true some of the time, but that doesn't necessarily have to be true. And that's sort of what we found in our report here.
So the Herman Miller is called the Herman Miller X Logitech, or Cross Logitech, Embody Gaming Chair. It's maybe the longest name. So I guess the money pays for the longer name as well.
Perhaps, yeah.
That is, I didn't realize that they had joined forces with Logitech. I guess that makes sense because they sort of need the entrance to the gamer world, and Logitech provides that, I suppose, the branding anyway. Whereas Herman Miller sort of thought of as, well, that's your executive chair that your boss has, and that's nothing to do with gaming.
Yeah, and branding, I feel like branding has become way more important in a lot of aspects of life now, just with the internet and everyone online, you know, so much. Like, brands are way more important now than I feel like when I was, I don't know, 10 years old. I'm way more aware of, like, this brand and that brand. I don't know if that's just a consequence of, like, social media and so forth.
Sure.
But yeah, just to this Herman Miller, I say Cross, I'm not actually sure, but the Logitech, there's nothing Logitech necessarily, but the Logitech logo's on it. But this is a Herman Miller chair. That's one of the other things about all these chairs. We wanted to say, okay, what are the popular chairs out there? What is good and what is bad about them? But one thing I was always asking is, like, well, what makes them a gaming chair? Like, what is a gaming chair? Like, again, it felt like this whole product sector kind of snuck up on me.
Sure.
Again, 10 years ago, I don't think gaming chairs were a thing. I feel like maybe 5-ish years ago, they started popping up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, well, what is a gaming chair? I know what an office chair is. You know, I've worked in offices. I've had home offices basically my whole life.
Yeah.
So I know what that is. What is a gaming chair?
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of, it's an aesthetic thing more than anything in our sort of what we found. It is, they look, for lack of a better term, they look gamery. You know, you buy like a gaming laptop, it has RGB, this and that. So, okay, that's a gaming laptop. You could also just buy like a powerful laptop that has a good graphics card, and that doesn't look like a gaming laptop. So it is very much an aesthetic thing. You know, it's got kind of bright colors or kind of like a edge, you know, the design looks gamery. Another thing that we found about these gaming chairs, a common trait is that they use what's called a bucket seat design,
mm-hmm.
which is where you can sort of imagine like the backrest of the chair, you know, kind of going all the way up. But on the sides, it has kind of like wings that kind of like protrude out. And we think that came from, you know, the world of like simulators or like race car, like if you're training to be in the Air Force or you're training to be on like the space shuttle, and you're sitting in these chairs, you don't want like the G forces to like knock you out of your seat. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
But like if I'm playing, I don't know, Stray or whatever, like I don't think there's a lot of G forces involved.
No. It's just cute cats and dystopic futures. That's all you're getting there.
So it's like, you know, I play more or less everything, but if I'm playing Civilization, if I'm playing, I play a lot of older shooters, if I play Quake 2 or whatever, it's like, I don't know that I'm like spilling out of the seat too often.
Sure.
So we kind of find that this bucket seat design, again, it's an aesthetic thing. It kind of looks, you know, it looks like you're piloting a mech or whatever, or if you're watching a stream and your streamer's in this big commanding chair and it just looks impressive. It's a visual thing. It's not really a functional thing. So what makes a gaming chair? I don't know. They kind of look the part, I guess.
Yeah. And I've always assumed, I shouldn't assume this, but I've always assumed looking at these various chairs that all look like these bucket seat, you know, mech chairs, like you mentioned, that's purely an aesthetic thing. And there is no actual value to comfort or long-term use or any of the things that you're looking for, the kinds of support you're looking for your back and that sort of thing. I think gamers think it is, though. I think they come into those things looking at them going, oh, well, the reason it's all padded out and weird and has the high neck thing and all this stuff is because clearly it's built to take care of me while I'm doing a 300-hour run of Civilization. Into the wee hours of the night. And that isn't true, is it?
No, that it is. And I was in the same, you know, the same position, you know, a year ago before we did any of this chair research. I assumed the same thing. It's, hey, look, in 2020, I personally bought a Secret Lab, whatever the model was in 2020. And would I buy that today? I'm not so sure. I might buy an office chair, which maybe we can get into a little bit later. But to me, it looked, wow, it looked the part. It was like, it looks big, it looks imposing, it looks like that supports your back. That's perfect. That's exactly. It's a gaming chair. This is a company that is adjacent to games. So it's like, okay, this is great. But yet it actually doesn't, it's not the best design. We find that the open chair design, which doesn't have the wings, it kind of, it doesn't restrict you in the same way. You know, again, if you're going to be sitting, in this chair, you know, I've it's funny you bring up Civilization. I've definitely played Civilization sessions 12 hours in a row, easy, many, many times. And if you're going to be sitting in a chair for that long, you want it to be a good chair that does support your body and that does, that is comfortable, especially as you get older. Like I said, I'm 36, you know, maybe if you're 20 years old or younger, it doesn't necessarily matter. When you're 17, you're basically invincible. So right. Perhaps it doesn't matter, but you know, especially as you get older, you want your office furniture to be functional and not only, you don't only want it to look cool. It can look cool too, and that's fine. And I have no problem with that,
sure.
But you want it to be a functional product.
I also think it's important for gamers to know when they see these things from their favorite streamer or their YouTube hero or whatever, what you're looking at oftentimes is somebody who got a chair via promotion.
Yeah.
And that $600 to $1,000 chair is one that they are now either promoting or have promoted in the past, or they got in trade for mentioning it. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think a lot of people may not know that going in. They may think that this person is like very careful about what chair they chose, and they went through a huge process. And maybe that's true of some of them, but my guess is most of the time, if they're like, yeah, this R-Racer 4000 K20 is my favorite chair. It might have also been their favorite email they got that said, hey, we'll give you a chair if you mention it, and plus money on top of that. Like, that's how this stuff works, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with these things. We do it, you know, I do it on my network all the time, depending on different ads and things like that. But what I'm hoping here, because, okay, so we have you from Consumer Reports. We have us, an independent podcast that covers the gaming world and doesn't, you know, get all hung up in sponsorships or anything. We're primarily a fan supported show. That's why I think this might be perfect for those people, because if you've seen these chairs and you've been like, well, I don't know, I can't tell. It looks like it's cool. Yeah. Is that enough for me? And do you really want to spend that kind of money? I guess my question to you would be, we've talked about the Herman Miller on the top end. Obviously, if everybody could just get one, they would.
Sure, of course.
Did you find that there was stuff in between that made more sense financially that most gamers are probably going to glom onto? Is it, were you even able to come to a conclusion like that?
I think we could say there were several, you know, again, we looked at eight specific models, and the Herman Miller was, you know, $1,800. We put that because we did want to see, okay, this is $1,800. This is the most expensive chair we can find. We should have that in the roundup because we, you know, Consumer Report, we have the ability to buy that chair and test it out.
Yeah.
But I have to assume most folks are not in the market for an $1,800 chair. I am certainly not. So it's kind of like, all right, well, it's like, you know, I'm not going to buy a Rolex. It looks neat, but that's the extent of it. But there were a couple chairs that fall, you know, well under that price that kind of hit a lot of the marks that we think make for a good chair. Probably the top of that heap would be the Cooler Master Ergo L. That is around $450. We kind of find that like around the $500 mark is when things start getting interesting.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about the very low end probably in a little bit here, but
sure.
Around $500 is okay. This is entering the territory of pretty good chair. Now to kind of recap, we looked at kind of four main buckets when evaluating these chairs. We looked at ergonomic design, we looked at comfort, we looked at ease of use, and we looked at ease of assembly. I kind of want to break those down very briefly, what all that means.
Yes, please.
Ease of assembly, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. You know, you get the chair, how easy is it to build? Are there tools included? Are there clear instructions? Do they make you go to their website to watch a video, which, I don't know, maybe you're building in a home office that has bad Wi-Fi, and now you can't even see the video to build the chair. So it's like, that's what ease of assembly is. Ease of use is, okay, I'm sitting in the chair. Can I adjust the armrest? Can I adjust the lumbar? Is everything labeled clearly? Is this kind of like tricky to figure out? Mm-hmm. That's kind of ease of assembly. Comfort and ergonomic design, they're linked, but I want to spend a second longer here And this is, you know, ergonomic. The word ergonomic now in like marketing, to me, it kind of feels like it doesn't even really mean anything. Ergonomic, it's like, oh, ergonomic this, ergonomic that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like all natural foods. It's like, well, that doesn't really, what does that tell me anymore? Not much. Within the context of chairs, ergonomic means you should kind of like automatically go to like adjustable. Is this chair adjustable?
Yeah.
Can I adjust the armrest? Can I adjust the seat pan? Can I adjust the height? Can I adjust the lumbar? One of the things we stress in the article is that, you know, we're all people, we're all more or less shaped the same, but within that there's variations. Like your left arm might be slightly longer than your right arm, and your leg might be slightly longer, but everyone has those kind of like variations within themselves. So
sure.
You want the chair to be able to make those adjustments, and to make those adjustments easily, and to make them to kind of put you in the best position to sit. And we do have a fun infographic in the article that kind of like shows what is the optimal way to sit at a desk sitting in a gaming chair. And it was funny, you know, in speaking to, you know, our folks internally, I was sitting all wrong. And I still kind of sit wrong, frankly. It's like your arms are supposed to be at a 90 degree angle, kind of hovering above the keyboard. Definitely my elbows dip below that plane. And I'm like, this is how I'm used to it. I now know this is bad for me.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
I'm in your boat. I do the same thing. I lean forward too much. I'm on my elbows too much, and I don't know why I do that.
Especially for gaming, depending what you're playing, you know, say you're playing Counter-Strike, or let's play your Call of Duty, but you kind of zoom into the screen. That's not a super great posture to, you know, if you're going to do it every now and then, sure. But like if you for long stretches of time, you really kind of want to be recline back ever so slightly. You want the 90 degree angle with your elbows in the keyboard, and you kind of want your feet definitely flat on the floor. And you also want the gap between the back of your knee and the seat pan. The seat pan is, if folks don't know, the seat pan is like the part of the chair that you sit on.
Yeah.
That thing is called the seat pan. Hmm. And the better chairs, you can adjust that kind of forward or backward to kind of get a good, you want like 2 inches between the back of your knee and that edge of that seat pan, just to, so there's no like tension or pressure on your leg.
Hmm.
That's
great. So I'm looking at the infographic right now. And I feel like that lady has got me beat in every way. She's sitting all the proper ways, and I'm just looking at that, and then holding still and checking my own posture here. Let's see. Head's in the wrong place. Back's in the wrong place. My arms are not quite where they should be, and I'm not sort of reclining the way she is with her legs, and my feet are currently not flat on the ground. So
yes.
I feel like I have not lived up even to this high standard of the infographic. Which is unfortunate.
I'm right there with you, so yeah. no worries.
Now, there's no reason why, though, you couldn't have a chair that accomplishes all of those designs, like you just mentioned, especially the adjustability and all that, and still look cool. I feel like that's the attempt of the let's work with Logitech and brand a thing and Herman Miller and let's spend $1,800. I mean, it's a nice-looking chair, for sure.
Sure.
And it's all a matter of taste. But yes. I personally would like something maybe that isn't bright green and probably looks like it could fit in any room and not just label me as a gamer. That's my own personal preference. Did you find that most of your options were kind of wacky and kooky and there was no getting around this design?
The gaming chair market, they all look very gamery, which, you know, I don't mind. Hey, you know, if people like what they like, if they like that kind of cool aesthetic, that's fine by me. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
But if you are someone who's like, well, I don't necessarily need the bright blue chair. Maybe the other folks at my house don't necessarily want a bright, you know, whatever the case may be.
Sure.
If that's the case, and I feel one of the real kind of overarching points of this article for me as someone who's in this community and sees folks struggling would be to open up your kind of range of possibilities beyond just gaming chair and to look into office chairs. Mm. A lot of times office chairs, you know, they don't look as cool, frankly. They're just kind of like,
yeah, it even sounds boring just to say office chair is boring, but I'm with you. Like it would be, I think it's worthy for people to at least check into that space, because even though you may think it's not as cool or they're somehow behind the times or whatever, often the comfort and adjustability you're going to find there, right?
Yeah, and the pricing is either comparable or you know, let's say you have $500. You know, you could get a chair that does do better in terms of ergonomics and comfort and all our metrics for that same $500. Okay, maybe it doesn't look, you know, doesn't look gamery, which again, if you're into that, you know, so be it, no problem there.
Sure.
But if you're more like, well, I have a certain amount of money to spend. I have my budget. I just want a functional object. I'm less, you know, I'm not too fussed about it needs to look a certain way. I would encourage folks to at least consider getting an office chair. And again, we did publish a similar article on office chairs at the beginning of the summer. I think it was in June. A very similar test. You know, we bought all the chairs on our own. We assembled them on our own. We tested them at our offices on our own. And one, there's kind of two I wanted to highlight for around that like 500-ish price range. There was a Steelcase Series 1. Mm-hmm. You could buy it at most retailers, Amazon, you name it. And it did very well. It basically aced all of our tests for $500. There was not a lot to complain about there.
Give me the model one more time. Steelcase
Series 1. I believe they recently came up with the Series 2. We didn't test that one. I assume it's okay as well. I mean, Steelcase is, you know, they make this stuff.
Sure.
But we specifically tested the Steelcase Series 1, around $500. I believe it's available in a bunch of colors too. We happened to buy like the gray one.
Mm-hmm.
But the material is, you know, very breathable. You know, again, aced all of our sort of metrics. So that is okay. I'm looking at this gaming chair for $500. I'm looking at this Steelcase for $500. Don't rule out the office chair again, unless you're in love with the gaming chair design, which is fine.
Yeah.
And that sort of brings up another sort of motivation for doing this article. It's like there are not many retailers that sell these, maybe Staples, maybe Walmart, maybe Target, but like, you know, they're not going to have 100 different chair models out on the floor where you can sit on and kind of test drive. It's not like, you know, you're shopping for a Jeep or whatever. They're kind of like hard to find in the real world. So a lot of the shopping will be online, and you want to, you know, be sure to do your research and get something that at least seems like it's going to work for you. Because if not, it's like, okay, either you have to live with that chair and you're out, you know, $500 or whatever, and you're not satisfied with it and it's just, you know, it's not working for you, or you have to return it. And then that's kind of a pain in the neck too. It's like, well, now I got to put this kind of bulky chair in my car. I got to drive to UPS or the post office and ship it back. It's like, that's a real pain in the neck. And if you could avoid that, by reading articles like ours and trying to see, okay, what's out there? What, where can my money go that will at least give me a good shot of being a good chair?
Yeah. And I'm looking, by the way, at this particular chair, on Amazon, just where I went, cause I know I can get a good color selection here. Steelcase Series 1. I feel like this is a great middle ground, cause yeah, you can go boring gray or black and just be like, you know, dude in your cubicle. But if you're a gamer, these are nice. There's this blue and these yellows and these dark greens, and there's a really cool fire red and really interesting orange. Like, I guess if color is your issue and it's not really about the bucket design,
yeah,
I think this sounds all right. And right now, Amazon's got the Series 1 for $421. I mean, it's under $500. If you're budgeting for about that, then you're good. They'll also do a $60 assembly, so you don't have to put it together. This is also a place I struggle, and I was curious what your experience was with all of the chairs. Did you find them all to be kind of the same in this regard, or were there some that was like, ah, snip, snap, snoop, we're done, the chair's all built, and others were like, oh my gosh, where's the instructions again? I'm missing an Allen wrench. Like, I hate that stuff. So how did that go?
Yeah, that was, you know, we bought the chairs and we assembled our own, and probably the most, interesting, the Razer chair, the Razer Isker, which... it did okay. It's not the best chair in our rating. That one, we kind of dinged for assembly. There's a part of the build process where you have to, you know, when you join the seat pan and the backrest, there's a part where you have to like thread them together. And that was not very clear in either the printed paper instructions that came in the box or the video. And so that kind of tripped us up a little bit. So, you know, we didn't weigh assembly as highly because we kind of figured, well, you build it once, and even if it's a pain in the neck, well, you know, you don't have to do that again.
Sure.
But yeah, that's a great consideration. And kind of the opposite end of that spectrum was Secret Lab, which I kind of, you know, I jokingly speculate that they must be big fans of Apple because you open the box and it has this like beautiful presentation and the typography of the instructions and all this type of thing. It has a very like, you know, designed in California by Apple kind of vibe to it. And so, you know, and building that was, you know, not too hard. All the tools are there. But sure. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. You know, hey, if you want to, you know, you just mentioned that Amazon will assemble it for you for $60 or whatever. Yeah. That's always an option. You know, there are services where you could do that, but we kind of figured, we're going to build it ourselves and kind of see, because we, you know, I assume most folks will kind of build it themselves.
Yeah. And you, and also in this article that you put up again on over on consumerreports.org, 90 to 120 minutes in a typical work setting. That's basically the full test of each chair.
That was to test like comfort. It's like, okay, is this chair, we built it, it looks cool, it's got all the adjustment points, you know, check. Is this chair actually comfortable? If I'm going to sit in this for 2 hours, you know, if I'm working, if I'm gaming, is this a comfortable thing to actually sit on? So sure. That's where the 2 hours comes from. And one kind of generalized piece of advice I have for folks there is a lot of chairs will have different kind of upholstery options. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll give you like a leatherette option or kind of a mesh option. And right. if you can, we would definitely recommend the chair have the mesh option because that is much more breathable than the leatherette. If you're sitting, you know, imagine it's the dog days of August here in the Northeast and it's like 100% humidity and 90 degrees. It's like, it's kind of gross outside. Yeah. And you're sitting in this kind of like faux leather chair for hours on end. That story is not going to end well. It's going to be real sweaty situation.
Yeah, it seems like not a comfortable thing, but also I feel like that stuff cracks sooner than you'd like and starts to show the kind of wear that you
don't
want.
I definitely had a chair a few years ago. I won't mention the name, but it had that leatherette kind of upholstery, and that thing started to disintegrate, I think, within a year. And I remember just one day, just like, you know, sitting in the chair and underneath the chair, it was a white chair and there was all these like white flecks under my desk. I was like, what is this white stuff under my desk? And I look at my chair, I was like, oh, that's the chair. It's like, it's falling apart. I had never seen that in person before. So yeah, the leatherette can fall apart on you. That's one of those things where you'll have to live with the chair for a while to actually see that happen. It's not going to fall apart within a week if you buy.
Yeah,
but
you know, years
beyond
even,
that,
so, sure.
Beyond that, definitely the mesh is just a more breathable material, a more comfortable material to sit in, and you likely won't have that kind of that disintegration problem that I had with my previous chair.
So on your lowest end, the $180 chair. So I have enough friends that have done this that I don't know. This is why I'm asking this question, but I've got friends who have gone to Amazon and just said gaming chair, and then they a price range, and they're like, well, that looks fine, and then they get that. Do we even bother with the low end? Like, what was your experience with the bottom end?
It's funny you mentioned that. To me, sounds like about the worst thing you can do is go to Amazon and type in gaming chair and then sort by lowest. I know I'm not picking on anyone, but there's a lot of stuff out there. Sure. I guess I'll say, and a lot of these lower end chairs. We have two of them in the roundup. We had the Homar S Racer gaming chair, and then the GT Racing gaming chair. I know I've seen these on streams with various influencers and so forth.
Sure.
And for my first point, they look very similar. Yeah. They almost look identical. Our speculation is that, well, maybe there's just like a handful of factories that are kind of pumping these things out, and you put a different logo on it, and it's a different chair. They're very, very similar. So that's one thing. Yeah, these kind of low end chairs, $100. I'm very cognizant of the fact that if someone has a budget and you know that's what the budget is, okay, fine. That's the money you have. That's I have no problem with that.
Sure.
What I would say is that for these kind of like $100 gaming chairs, I guess I'd have two pieces of advice. One would be either to kind of maybe just save up a little longer. I know that they look the part and you sorted by price and they look fine. Sure, maybe. Yeah. But it wouldn't be my choice and it didn't score. They didn't score very well in our tests, actually.
Yeah.
There is one chair that is not even that much more money. It is the Staples Emerge Vortex.
Staples branded? Wow. Okay.
That's yes. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I mean, Staples sells office stuff. Maybe they is just some like they a white labeled. I have no idea how that worked, but the Staples Emerge Vortex, not bad. And when we bought it, it was $160. So well under $200. Not much more than that kind of $100 rando chair on Amazon. And everything, ergonomic design, company. It's a much better experience for not much more money. So if you are someone out there who, with a smaller budget, which is totally fine. Hey, look, I'm very aware of and deeply respect is that people have budgets. Yep. You know, not everyone has infinite money. Not everyone's like a Bitcoin millionaire or whatever. I'm certainly not. Not the case.
Sure.
So it's like, okay, if I have this amount of money to spend, that's the max. What is out there? If you can get that budget to around 160, the Staples chair is not a bad option. And hey, also look, by the way, it looks the part. It's our model is blue. It kind of gives out those gamer vibes, but there's enough adjustability in the armrest and the lumbar and so on and so forth that it's like not a bad package.
Yeah.
Is it the best one that we saw? No. But for especially for that amount of money, definitely worse options out there for sure.
Well, let me pull another one out of here because I've heard a lot of people recommend this one, and you can tell me how this one fared. It's the Razer. I think it's Enki. I think you guys did this one. Let me see. Make sure it's on the list.
Oh, we did the Razer Isker.
Or Isker. That's the one. I'm sorry. Isker is the one I'm looking for. How did that fare? That's the one I always get told to get. Everyone's like, you got to get that one. That's the best gaming chair on the planet. It's not price bad. How'd it do?
It was in the middle of the road, I guess I could say. It didn't score the best. I would say middle of the road of the ones that we looked at. There were a couple problems here. One, this is one of the chairs that was kind of weird to build. When joining the backrest and the pan, there was some like weird like threading step that was not very clear. And the other this is one of those like bucket seat designs where the wings do kind of get in the way and kind of limit your movement. So it is, again, if you're a huge fan of the Razer brand, I mean, Lord knows I've bought plenty of Razer stuff over the years, so I don't hate the brand or whatever. So if you're a big fan of the brand and you like their aesthetic, you know, the green kind of snake thing, okay, cool, fair enough. But for that $500-ish range, if you're not necessarily, you know, married to the Razer brand, there are better options out there. It's middle of the road, I guess I'll say.
Yeah, that chair has a standard and an extra large option. I'm not sure what they're trying to say to us, but that is one unique thing about the Razers. They have an extra large version for some of our wider wider back ends.
Which is a good point too, because several of these chairs are available in different size options, and they do kind of say on the site, it's like, okay, if you are taller than 6 feet, you should get this one, or if you weigh more than X, you should get this one. And we follow those directions and when we bought the chairs. But yeah, that's to their credit. You know, again, we're all kind of vaguely shaped the same, but there is some variation within humans. So to their credit, at least they made, you know, multiple models to kind of fit, to fit more people a little better.
Okay. Now, just to kind of sum things up and to give people a working action item here at the end of our conversation, your top three, what were those? I'm going to write them down so I put them in our show notes. But if you had to pick three that you were like, man, these are the three that aren't Herman Miller.
Herman Miller, that's almost like... I know. What can you say? It's an $1,800 chair that is probably out of the reach of most folks. But that you know, on paper, that was the best.
Yeah.
If you do have that large of a budget, you know, some people do. Fair enough. Yeah. That's probably the chair to get.
Okay.
For the rest of us, there's the Cooler Master Ergo L. That's more like $450. Again, that did very well in our tests, particularly in terms of ergonomic design, tons of adjustability, comfort, very easy to use, you know, the whole nine yards. So that's probably, for the rest of us, that's probably the one to get.
Okay.
And then you might, then again, depending on your budget, if it's a healthier budget, you could consider the Mavix M9. I think that starts at around $1,000, which is, and one thing I'll say right now, actually, is like, you know, when you're shopping for a chair, especially me, I work from home office. I'm in this chair all day, every day.
Yeah.
You should kind of try to amortize the price in your mind a little bit. It's like, okay, I'm going to be sitting in this chair for a very long time.
Right.
$1,000 is, sure, that's a ton of money. $500 is a ton of money. But I'm going to be using this thing all day, every day. So just kind of keep that in mind as you see these prices, because I get it, $500 is a ton of money, frankly.
Yeah.
But that Mavic's M9 for around 1,000, also did very well in our tests. That's probably the top three. But again, with like a special mention or something like that, that Staples chair, for 160, it's the Staples Emerge Vortex gaming chair. Did very well on our tests, you know, not the best, not the tippy top, but for 160, it scored pretty well. It looks, you know, it looks gamery. So again, if aesthetics are like really high on your list of like, well, I want it to look the part, then that Staples one is a pretty good option.
All right, that's not bad. I mean, obviously that price is very much in the budget range, and it's good to hear that there's one that's reasonable within there. But I'm looking at this Cooler Master. Is it Ergo L? Let's see. Do I have the right?
Yes. That's how I say it. Ergo.
I think it's Ergo L. They all have wacky names. That one is currently 40% off on Amazon for like $360 or something.
Oh wow! Well,
it's pretty good. So it fluctuates, obviously. Prices go up and down, but sure. That seems like a pretty good deal. I'm really glad we were able to have this conversation and send people this direction, because it's again, it's like a weird nebulous part of gaming. It feels like it is part of the culture now. Difficult to know what's good, what's bad, and even if you wholly trust your influencer, oftentimes they're just telling you to get the thing that they were given and that they're being paid to advertise. And again, that's okay. You're you know, in some cases you're talking very little difference between some of these devices, but I think most of us are just like lost as to where to go. This gives us some, you know, this gives us some bait to bite on as the fish are.
I don't want to say that we, you know, we know everything or we're the end all be all, but you know, Consumer Reports has been around for, I think it's 93 years.
Yep.
You know, we rate and review everything from cars and refrigerators and you name it. We rate. So we have experience in the rating and reviewing department. And I'm a huge, you know, I'm a huge champion. You know, I'm a huge nerd. I have been my whole life, and I see all these conversations, and I see folks saying, oh, gaming chair, should I get one? My favorite streamer has it. That looks cool. So I kind of wanted to be like, okay, we can step in and help folks. You know, we bought these chairs on our own. No brand sent them to us and was like, hey, why don't you write about our chair? If streamers have marketing deals, that's fine. That's kind of how the media world works now. I don't really have any problem with that. But we have the ability to buy these chairs with our own money, test them with our own in-house staff. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the article. So it's like, I know the humans involved here. It's all very above board. And, you know, I just want to help folks who are kind of debating. I see a gaming chair. Do I want one? Do I not want one? Is an office chair worthwhile? So we just wanted to help, you know, not that we're not telling you what to do. We're not telling you buy this chair. We just wanted to add a little bit of advice into your overall kind of purchasing thinking matrix or whatever.
That's a great idea. And also just for those at home going, man, what about us console players? I want a banana chair like I had when I was a kid. They still sell these. In fact, a lot of these brands have a version of their chairs that are just like banana roller chairs for your living room. You can go check those out as well. They're a lot cheaper for the most part. So if you're a console gamer and you're like, boy, I sure like the X Rocket chair. Good news. They got a version of that just lays on the floor and, you know, you look a little funny, but that's okay. You're playing games. Who cares? Just do it. Don't worry about our judgment. Well, this is fantastic, Nick. I really appreciate you coming on and chatting about this. And who knows what the future holds? Another one of the these gaming related thing comes up on the site. I'd love to have you back and talk more.
Yeah, my pleasure. Like I said, Consumer Reports, we don't do a ton of gaming stuff, just kind of in our DNA, but every now and then we try to, you know, where we can kind of offer our advice and expertise, we try to do so. You know, consumerreports.org, and I'm happy to, I'm on Twitter basically all, it's mostly soccer tweets, I will admit, but I'm on Twitter all day, Nicholas A. De Leon. If anyone listening has any questions about gaming chairs or office chairs or you know, laptops or Wi-Fi or whatever or anything,
sure.
Please feel to reach out and I will do my best to answer your question. But yeah, we're basically here to help and try to help folks, you know, especially as the holidays are coming up. I have a feeling these gaming chairs are going to be on a lot of wish lists, so to speak.
Oh yeah.
And hopefully we can help folks out there make a smarter buying decision.
Yep. And people at home, I will be putting a link directly to the article over at consumerreports.org in the show notes. So whether you're on Patreon or the main feed, that'll be available to all of you to go check it out and link over there directly if you'd like. And of course, we'd always love your feedback. talktothecore@gmail.com if you have any comments, questions, or anything I can pass on to Nicholas here. Nicholas, having you on was great, man. Thanks so much again for being here.
Thank you very much. My pleasure. And let's do it again.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.